take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, it's very easy for us to miss, to forget, to not think upon the wonder. This is God's Word. You know, someone might say, well, I know that. I know that. Well, let's just stop just a minute. Think about that again. Miracle of God's grace that He would send His Word. This starts off, says Peter. Peter. Object of God's saving grace. Just an old fisherman. That's all he was. Just a fisherman. Man, just born just like anybody else, just a sinner, saved by God's grace, but he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. There were 12 apostles. The Lord chose 12 men. One of them betrayed him. But these apostles taught by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, taught them the gospel. They heard the message of free grace from His lips, walked with Him, heard Him preach, watched Him. And God the Spirit taught them and gave these men special gifts. Special gifts to be able not only to preach, but had special gifts, signs, miracles, these men to confirm. These men are men sent of God. Apostles. Now, you know, it's one thing for us to sit, and it's the most fearful thing. I'll bet you Brother Scott confirmed this. Man sit all of his regenerated life. If God calls him to be a preacher, it's the most serious thing. Stand up and going to preach. It's not a light thing. You take a scripture that you've read before you stand up to preach. You make sure you go over that scripture again. You search it. You pray. You ask, Lord, teach me what you're saying. Lord, would you grant me the message in your word? I don't want to handle this word in a trifling manner. I want to be honorable before you. I want to be honest before your people. These are your people. These are those that you've everlastingly loved. There's some elect in this place. I'm convinced of that. But here's a man, and he was one of such that the Spirit of God taught this man to write down what God told him. Amazing. We are reading the inspired Word of God. This was not Peter's words. These are God's words. This man writes, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the Lord Himself, to the strangers, those who are pilgrims, strangers, pilgrims to this world, are scattered. Because of the sake of the gospel, because of persecution, through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, strangers, writing to God's people. This is what's called one of the general epistles. You read up there, my Bible says the first epistle general of Peter. It's written to the people of God. That's who it's written. Written to the folks at Katy. This is who it's written to. Katy, Danville, Ashland, Crossville. Written to those strangers. Now, there's no lasting peace. There's no joy. There's no comfort except to a believer in God's Word. Written Word is about the living Word. The Word of God Himself. It is by and on His eternal Word that a believer is convinced. This is the Word of God. This is His Word. Lord, it's Your Word. That's what Peter said. Remember that? He's fishing. Y'all caught anything? We fished all night. Hadn't caught anything. Cast your net on the other side. Well, we fished all night. But Lord, it's Your Word. We're sitting here tonight. We were here this morning. You just about bet. By God's grace, I'm not going to say anything new. By God's grace, I don't want to say anything new. I want to say that which He has said. I want to stay on God's Word. But tonight, we've assembled ourselves together to hear from Him. For the redeemed, the regenerated saint, what he hears and how he hears is of the utmost importance. I must hear of Him. The saint continually examines himself. Examine yourself. That's what Scripture says, to see if you be in faith. How do you do that? I mean, how do you feel about examining yourself? I don't know. Examine yourself according to the Scriptures. Whether you be in the faith. Do you hunger and thirst after Him? Do you? You long after Him. Tell me of His honor. Tell me of His glory. A believer proves himself by the Word of God. I was talking about this morning when I said, you know, man stands up and he says, now, Scripture says, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. Okay, and I will hear this one more time. Believer knows that he's not his own. He's been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, and that Christ is in him, except he be a reprobate. He wants to know. He'll take God's Word against himself, for he knows that the Word of God endures forever. He is but dust. You know that. Of all the things that arrests a new heart, the glory of Almighty God, salvation, the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the honor of God Almighty is most vital. For herein the believer is found to have interest of his eternal soul. One day, this is going to truly matter. It's going to matter. Talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he was telling me that he preached a mutual friend of ours' funeral. He told him just a week or so before our friend passed away. Our friend told him, he said, you know, he said, the realization, I'm getting ready to meet God. All of a sudden, it mattered. He said, I'm resting my soul. What else has a man got? What else have you got? All of a sudden, everything fades into nothingness. Getting ready to meet God. I'd like to consider four things tonight about a phrase that's found in verse 3, about the middle of the way down. Peter writing, he said, "He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." That's what I'd like to speak on for a few minutes. A lively hope, a living hope. Tell me something that is so. Tell me something that is alive. Tell me something that's true. I want to consider, first of all, the nature of a lively hope. What is it? Peter said he's begotten us again unto a lively hope. Well, I can tell you this. First of all, it's a hope that's based not on dead works, but on the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever liveth. Lively hope. It is a hope whereby the heart is fixed to believe by God's grace, by God's given faith, to believe the report of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He hath begotten us again. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him by night. He said, "You know, good master, we know that you must be from God. No man could do the things that you do unless God be with him." And he said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born from above. He hath begotten us," the scripture says, "unto a lively hope, begotten us again, made us children." Now, I realize that all men, all women, are His by creation. I know that. All of us. We're all made by Him. Peter says He's begotten us again unto a lively hope. Created us in Christ Jesus, a new creature, a new man. He made a brand new creation. Created us, made us new mind. Not a worked over old man. Didn't take an old man and work him over and reform him a little. Made a brand new creature. Created in Christ Jesus. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. It's not the hope of a dead sinner or a lifeless hypocrite. But a believer is a living creature, spiritually alive. One made so by the Spirit of God Himself. Let me give you an example. Very simple. Probably too simple. You take a man, he's going to take a horse. He's going to race him. Horse is dead. Horse is dead. And he's going to try as hard as he can put that horse in a race. Get him to stand up, get his legs to move all of his legs, and let him have a fighting chance. Does he? Why? Horse is dead. He's dead. I'm not going to win. That's the only conclusion he's going to come from. How would you like to race a dead horse? Peter says, "He hath begotten us, birthed us." That's what it means. Birthed us to a lively hope. It's a hope that's consistent with the obeyed and honored law of God. One that reveals God to be just in the punishment of sin. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our substitute, and merciful in the forgiveness of His people. Lively hope, living hope. It's not that a man has made himself alive. The Scripture says, "Blessed," verse 3, "be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us." He did it. Not we ourselves. He created. He birthed unto a lively hope. It's a hope that finds from beginning to end the glory of Almighty God to be the issue. And it is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope. The sole ground for sinners' hope is the sovereign mercy of Almighty God justly shown to those that the Lord Jesus Christ has gloriously put away their guilt by the shedding of His blood vicariously in their stead, in their place, died, buried, raised, ever lives for them. He hath begotten us to a lively hope. And this hope Peter's talking about is an inheritance given to the heirs of salvation. Those who are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, not obtained by their industry, by their will, by the works of the law, free gift. It's an inheritance. It's incorruptible. Incorruptible in itself. Can't be corrupted by others. Incorruptible. It means it's not liable to decay. Throw a piece of bread out on the floor, just leave it there long enough. It's going to mold. Run over an animal out here in the middle of this highway or road right here, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to it eventually. It's going to rot. Why? It's liable to decay. It's corruptible. This lively hope is not enjoyed or known by those who are corrupt in themselves, left to themselves in sin. But those who through the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ have put on incorruption in Him, by Him, through Him, this inheritance. This lively hope, incorruptible. And it's also, it's undefiled, verse 4 says. It's holy, pure. It has nothing of man's effort added to it, totally of God. And it fadeth not away. Doesn't fade away as this world fades away. But it is secure not on the sinner's ability to keep it, keep himself, but is secure on the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, who promised, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. And the reason that it doesn't fade away is because, verse 4, end of verse 4 says, it's reserved in heaven for you. Reserved. I looked up that word reserved. Reserved. You know what it means? Guarded. Watched over. It is reserved in heaven for you, for God's elect, God's people, kept by Almighty God, kept by Him who has the right, the power to hold secure, because their security is in Christ. It's in Him. He would have to be dethroned. That is impossible. He is all powerful. He would have to be removed. Impossible. The Lord Jesus Christ has been entrusted with the security of the Father's elect. He is their surety. Their surety. I mean, you think about it. I made this statement here recently talking about the surety at the bank. If there's somebody that signs a note for me and I know that person's got the money, out of pure honor, I will do my best to make that note good. But if I don't and I know they've got the money, I'm not worried about it. They're going to make it good. I know that. Can you imagine the comfort, the peace, the joy. He is my surety. He is my hope. He is my salvation. He is, as Brother Scott just read, He's altogether lovely. This is a lively hope. This is a living hope. This is a hope not built on my will or my works or my choice. It's on His will and His work, His choice, His purpose, His word. He shall not fail. This inheritance is safe. Safe in heaven, out of the reach of men and devils. Thereby it reveals the preciousness of it. It's the Father's pleasure to save, the Son's pleasure to purchase by His own precious blood. The source of this lively hope. The source of this hope is found in verse 2. Peter says, we're elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's according to the election of Almighty God. God's purpose to choose the Father by His merciful judgment, pleasure, chose His people in Christ. To grace, honor, glory, holiness. According to His foreknowledge, He foreknows because He purposes all things that shall come to pass. Turn to Romans 8. Let's read this. Romans 8, verse 29, 30. Romans 8. 29 and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Now that word means He determined the destination beforehand. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. The army in heaven, the inhabitants of the earth, no man stays His hand. He does as He will. He's going to do exactly what is His good pleasure. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God called a man, justified that man, glorified that man, what are we going to say to these things? This is a lively hope. This hope is real. This thing's alive. This is a lively hope. Not left to my little whim or my little trials or my... I'll do the best I can. I hope He'll consider, you know, a few of the things that I've done, you know, and I help somebody across the street. And this, that, and the other. This is a lively hope. He's secured in Christ Himself. Not in His universal foreknowledge, eternal and infallible knowledge that reaches to all people without exception. I know, I've heard people say, well, when it comes to election, what it is that God looked down in time and He saw who would choose Him. So He chose them. Well, turn to Psalm 14. Let's just see if we can find out anything about that. I tell them, say, well, yeah, God did look down. Scripture speaks that He looked. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men. You can say He looked down in time. You can say He looked down to see who would choose Him. The Scripture says the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, all of them. How do you know it's all of them? Because He says to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Next time somebody tells you, well, God looked down, and He looked down in time to see who was going to choose Him, and He chose them, you remember, God looked, and they're all together filthy. There's none that does good, not one. Almighty God, foreknown, elect according to the foreknowledge of Almighty God. This foreknowledge, His knowing here, is His sovereign grace, will, purpose, pleasure to set His affection on and His purpose to give birth to whomsoever He chooses. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. On whom I will, I'll show compassion. He said He's the potter with the clay. The potter has the right to do whatever he wants to do with the clay. When I was in college, I took a few art classes. And I watched some people. I never did throw a pot. But I watched somebody. I watched some, you know, people that was doing that. They'd throw a pot. They'd take that lump of clay, plop it right down on that wheel, fire that thing up, wet their hands, start doing it. And, you know, I kind of watched them. They'd kind of just start doing stuff like this. Their thumbs would kind of start doing like that. And all of a sudden, they made a pot, or they made a bowl, or they made a mug. Or they said, you know what they made? They made whatever they wanted to make. That's exactly. And they did it just exactly the way they wanted to do it. They put the pressure just exactly where they wanted to put the pressure, and they put grooves and everything else with their fingers, and they did just exactly the way they wanted to do it. And the more skilled that they were, the nicer it came out. Look pretty good. He's the potter. We're the clay. The potter has a right to make one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor. And let me ask you this. Who are we to question Him? Peter says we're elect according to the foreknowledge of Almighty God. Through sanctification of the Spirit of God who sets apart His people. The Father chose, the Son is redeemed, and the Spirit of God calls them out, blows as the wind, whithersoever He will, sovereign, comes exactly where He's pleased to come and calls them out under the preaching of the gospel. This message, the message that honors the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the message that He's going to bless. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. Sanctification of the Spirit sets them apart. But I'll tell you, there's another part in that too. It is by God's Spirit, but we're set apart in heart, in our spirit. Set apart. As I said the other day, I realize that you've got to work with people. And I understand that many that you work with do not believe and honor and love the God that you love. But inside, internally, you're set apart. set apart. I'm not talking about that external religious separation from the world, but it's internal. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience. Obedience before Him. Obedience is gospel. The sheep of God, when it pleases God to call them out of darkness, you know what they're going to do? They're going to come. They're going to come to Him. They're going to call. They're going to love Him because He first loved them. Unto obedience, faith, that internal grace, bowing to the will and purpose, pleasure of Almighty God. And it's unto obedience of that heart and of the sprinkling of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, when that blood was sprinkled, that priest would kill an animal and take a basin, take that blood, sprinkle it on the altar, sprinkle it on the people. And what that showed, what that sprinkled blood showed, the law has been satisfied. That's the first thing. That blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Wages of sin is death. When that blood was shed, it showed that sin deserved death. That killed an animal. That animal was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when that priest would take it and sprinkle it, showed that the law has been satisfied, that the covenant has been ratified or approved, confirmed, and ceremonial. Their guilt was pardoned. Ceremonially, pollution was removed. And they were fitted for an external fellowship with Almighty God. Now let me tell you, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ being shed for His people, the law has been satisfied. The elect's guilt is put away. They are pardoned by His blood. Their pollution is removed. Now we're at peace with Almighty God. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. Peter said, this is a lively hope. Blood has been shed. His blood has been shed. Sin has been put away. We are at peace. No condemnation. Lively hope. Sprinkling of the blood of our blessed Savior. You know, believers are interested in that. You tell me, as I said this morning, tell me one more time how He put away my guilt. Tell me one more time of a lively hope. You tell me one more time how I am at peace with God through the blood of our blessed Savior. Cleansed by His blood. Grace, Peter says, and peace. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Grace, sovereign kindness, and peace, rest. Grace and peace, sovereign kindness, rest be multiplied unto you. May it be made more clear what he's saying. May you have an enlarged view of it. Grace, peace be multiplied. And then thirdly, the evidence of a lively hope. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Who are kept. Well, I like that word. Kept. I can't keep myself. I know. The very thought of me keeping myself, I don't even want to talk about it. I can't keep myself. I just can't do it. I don't have the power to do it. I'll tell you another thing. Leave me to myself, truly, I don't have the will to do it. I wouldn't truly, truly leave me to myself. I don't have the power, the will. I don't have the ability. Kept. Sovereign, keeping grace. That's a lively hope. Loved me from the foundation of the world. Set His affection on me. Why? Because He wanted to. Look down, see if I do good. I wouldn't do it. Would not do it. Born in this world, came forth from my mother's womb, speaking lies. My mind, my carnal mind, was enmity against God. I was His enemy. And while I was yet sin, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a lively hope. He chose us. He came to live for us. Died for us. Almighty God called us out of darkness. Gave us faith to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Gave us faith. Wasn't of ourselves. Gift of God. And kept us, kept by the power of God through faith. The Lord Jesus has assumed the full responsibility for His people. To redeem them, keep them, intercede, and finally to present us faultless before Him. Kept by the power of God. Evidence of a lively hope, you believe Him. You believe Him. Evidence, you have faith to believe what the Scripture says concerning Him. Kept in obedience to Christ, looking, leaning, trusting Him. I tell you this, God's sheep, they do not remain in rebellion and disobedience to Him. They do not. Is there sin within them? Sure there is. Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. But the power of that sin has been canceled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about to bring me to hell. Soon the presence of it will be gone. Leave this world. The doctrine of justification by faith does not lead to a life of licentiousness, but rather it has the opposite effect because of a new heart. I tell you, Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I'm going to paraphrase what he's saying, I treat my body severely and lead it as a slave. I smite it and bring it under subjection. The body, that organ of sin, well used according to our old sinful nature. Let me ask you this. Paul says that I keep my body under subjection, lest that after I preach to others, I'd find myself to be a castaway, reprobate, rejected. While the carnal heart justifies every act of rebellion and excuses itself because of sin, using sin as an excuse, the believer considers himself to be in a lifelong struggle, warring within, without. God's people are not satisfied to rebel against Him. They are not. Any man, any woman says, well, if I'm justified by faith, it just does not matter. Oh, my friend, but it does. On one hand, Paul acted on the principle that the righteous scarcely are saved. And others declared his joyous assurance of salvation and was persuaded that he which was able was going to keep him. The day of salvation. Let me ask you something. It's those that are struggling, is it not? Hard with sin, that this blessed assurance has been given. God's people are not satisfied just to be licentiously, loosely living. You're kept by the power of God through faith. Faith. Faith believes that I'm altogether sinful in myself. And He's altogether lovely, able, Him. And then the end of my lively hope is found. Verse 5, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The end of our lively hope, that's our inheritance. We talked about incorruptible, undefiled. An inheritance is something that's not earned, not obtained by my own exertion. Free. Freely given. Inheritance. Ready to be revealed in the last time. We have been saved assuredly by Almighty God. Chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, sanctified by the Spirit. We're being saved. That is, we're being kept. You're kept right now. The only reason that you believe tonight is because He's kept you. That's the only reason. Left to yourself, you wouldn't have been back. I'm not going back. Left to yourself, you wouldn't believe. Being kept, being saved, and we shall be saved in the last time, in that day, when all men shall stand before Him. Him before whom we all must deal. In that day it shall be fully revealed. Oh, men see it so dimly now. What a marvelous salvation been wrought by the power of Almighty God for His elect. God's going to be glorified in all of it. Lively hope. Blessed. Thanked. That's what that word means. Thanked be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. As I said last service, resurrection, that assumes that He died, put away my guilt, shed His blood, paid my penalty. Our Father, how thankful we are. This time, this privilege, come together. Lord, truly, we do. We struggle. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Lord, we know that in us, that is in our flesh, there dwells no good thing. But oh, the blessed thankfulness that You'd give us to bless You. You who has chosen, saved us by Your grace. Thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, for that shed blood, put away our sin. We ask You now, keep us by Your grace. You promised You would. We ask You now, hide this word within our heart, for Christ's sake.